Welcome to the Real P3 Podcast, your ultimate resource for swine professionals worldwide. Join your host, Casey Bradley, dedicated industry advocate, as we delve deep into the world of swine production. Tune in for expert insights, cutting-edge strategies, and meaningful discussions tailored specifically to empower and elevate swine professionals. From optimizing nutrition plans to exploring innovative techniques and connecting with industry pioneers, the Real P3 Podcast is your go-to platform to stay ahead in the dynamic realm of swine production. Happy anniversary to the Real P3. As I sit here and reflect on the Real P3, I can't believe it's been 3 years since we kicked off this project. And this is officially episode 92. Even though the podcast plan has been adjusted over time, it has been one of the best things I have ever created in my career. It is truly my outlet to share knowledge, experience, and expertise with a global audience. It truly aligns with the Sunswine Group's mission of faithfully serving through science plus heart. It has been a privilege and honor to host and create the Real P3 for you. I thought to celebrate our anniversary, it would be a good idea to reflect on all the producers and professionals I have met around the world and share my thoughts and insights with you. But unlike our fans' favorite episode, I would not be able to highlight all the wonderful people in their own words. Thus, you will just get to hear my thoughts on them today. Let's go ahead and start on the continent where the idea came from. And that was from my founder or co-founder, Willem Stein in Swine Nutrition Management out of South Africa. One of the first African pork producers I interviewed was Nai from Ghana. He has about 600 sows, but he's kind of fully integrated. So it's not only raising pigs, he processes his own pigs and he sells it with him and his brother. So truly integrated system in Ghana, but they still face their challenges of infrastructure, markets, and GDP. Now I really started be focusing on my mission to help producers from all over the world. Once we started sharing these producer stories, I had several young producers reach out to me for advice. Thus, on my vision board, I have at retirement or sooner, but that's in God's hands, that I want to create a nonprofit to help train and educate small producers in food insecure countries and communities around the world to bring expertise and knowledge to their level and in their language. Which takes me over to Stephen Payne with Urban Farmer. He really opened up my eyes and the potential. It wasn't a dream. It's actually a possibility. But I still need to take up his offer and travel to Africa and visit these producers and find the best approach of how to connect them with the expertise and the knowledge they need to help grow a thriving pork system. One key ingredient that I found from many conversations with producers in Africa is their pride and resilience. Johan Oldendahl is a tremendous manager with production numbers that any American producer would be envious of. And he does it without consistent electricity and poorly educated or trained staff. My interview has created a forever friendship with him and his family. I even read his book, The Rise of the Vicens, and he definitely is a master storyteller. Since our interview, things have not necessarily improved in Zimbabwe for swine producers, but Johan has become an international scholar and has traveled the globe. He is on a mission to share and inspire other pork producers or farmers in general around the globe and focusing on resilience and mental health. He's had his own struggles and has moved audiences to tears. More to come on his story and journey, but that's for another day. And you bet I will be helping in the background to make his dreams fly. Just want to mention Mark Rath. So I had a couple interns from South Africa. Mark was one of those, and Chantel was the other intern I had. I really enjoyed working with Mark and featuring him on the podcast. The work he's doing is very important for South African pork producers on animal health and biosecurity. And I can't help but love what he's working on for his master's degree, and that's tail biting. It's a problem the entire industry faces. But he really is another true reflection of that resilience of the African farmer. Let's jump to Europe, where my first producer interview took place with Michaela from Denmark, and where our co-founder Philip van der Brink hails from the Netherlands as well. I went through and listed out all the producers I interviewed from Europe. The countries included Denmark, Ireland, the Netherlands, the UK, and I think possibly even Germany there. So lots of different producers that I had on the podcast. But what in Europe, we did cover a variety of operations and problems. It wasn't a cookie cutter interview at all. I still follow Michaela on Facebook, and I've watched her son grow into a young man and her adventures with her beautiful German Shepherd. Zane's fire still burns, and her passion to help producers do better is still there today in her endeavors. One of the best ideas that has come out of Europe, for me, was Swinko's big litter concept. Here in the USA, we constantly converse and discuss the problem of low viability pigs, big litters, and mortality in general. But we still refuse to reevaluate milk systems in our farms. I've even had a sour taste in my mouth from the experience early in my career. But getting to interview Peter with Swinko and listening to how they've changed the delivery systems, I think we're moving in the right direction. And after that interview, one of the mega producers from the U.S. reached out to me to learn more. Take it even further, and this summer's update from Philip indicated that milk products are once a viable option for pigs. So I challenge you, if you have distaste for milk systems, that you may want to go back and listen to a couple episodes and learn how this could be a valuable tool for your operation. And interesting, if you remember Colin from Ireland, he was getting his PhD looking at the economic impact of zinc oxide for pork producers. But due to COVID and some other issues, he took a different path. And he's now working for Swinko, helping pork producers in Ireland succeed after all. Another key takeaway from producers and leaders I interviewed is that they are doing it their way and being authentically themselves. Mark Jagger sure stepped up to tell his story on mental health and is a brilliant leader of our industry. Asger and the Grimsons are also testaments to keeping the tradition of pig farming alive, but in their own way and blazing that new path forward, which is a little reflective of my childhood. But they are definitely putting more science with passion versus just hard work. Before we come to the Western Hemisphere, let's just take a pit stop in China and Australia. So one of the first and most popular interviews was the fan favorite with Dr. Wayne Johnson. And it was definitely a hit. Over 1,000 listeners. This is most likely due to the fact that there's little information coming out from China, and it's usually censored. So we had some insights from Dr. Johnson and then Todd Thurman as well about working in China. But I've enjoyed other projects I've worked with Wayne on, and it has valuable insights to controlling diseases that every producer can learn from. Another great interview from the other side of the world was with my friend David Henman. Since our interview, Revalia is now part of the JBS system, and I had the opportunity to visit with him again in person in Madison, Wisconsin this spring. I owe AB Vista for connecting us in the past, and I'm truly grateful for my continued friendship and dialogue with Dave all these years. Now, let's come to the Western Hemisphere. And as I was going through the different people I've interviewed and the different episodes to gather my thoughts and put them into words, I realized I have been ineffective at interviewing producers and our cousins across the border in Canada. But I did get to interview Stuart Skinner from Canada and his antibiotic-free pork and family business. And what's interesting about Stuart is that I knew Donald, his brother, working at a feed company. I used to sell to him, and I knew about his family story and knew where exactly his family farm was, and the lasting friendship is formed. I still reach out to Stuart on Twitter, but it's interesting to know that, you know, he didn't follow his parents' path. He started his own, and he's doing it his way. And he's making antibiotic-free pork work because he embodies science plus heart in his operations. Well, obviously, since I'm based in the U.S. and the time zone's here, and I have lots of friends, and I've worked with lots of different producers from the U.S. pork producers, there's a long list of them. We've had the opportunity to work on the niche side of the business to the integrated systems. From the integrator perspective, we had Christine Snowden from Heimerald's discuss gilt selection, James Lamb on environmental stewardship, Dr. David Rosario on nutrition, and Hamana Portal on her story. Now it's Dr. Hamana Portal, by the way. And just wait, in a couple more episodes, she's coming back to discuss business intelligence from the Hanor system. We were able to focus on the contract grower portion of our industry with the help of producer Catherine Bell and fieldman Ben and Steve. But the true lasting impression and friendship that was created was with Ron Simmons with Master Blend Farms. He is one of the first people to give me a like on our posts. And as I was a little kid on Christmas when I got to visit his farm and meet him in person. His story and commitment to creating a memorable experience with pork on the menu makes him a true champion of our industry. And thank you, Ron, and your family for their continued dedication to serve our consumers. Some important topics that we've covered on The Real P3. Well, we are problems, right? One of the P's stood for problems. So one of the biggest problems facing the global swine industry in the past and still presently is African swine fever. This topic came up a lot in conversations, but one of the best was with Johan Kuntz with SAPO, which is South Africans and PPC. And then Vincent, of course, as Pig Progress was generous to support our initiative, but he still today follows and tracks every ASF event around the world. So you need to keep an eye out because it is still a problem and it's a growing problem. One of the other topics we've covered were consumer perceptions. I had my own intern, Henry Silva, on as he's from LA, and he discussed his buying decisions around pork and where we're truly missing out on a great opportunity to drive that younger consumer. To follow up that conversation, we hosted Angie Krieger with the National Pork Board and showcased South Dakota State's graduate student Shannon Durkee on changing the mindset of the future consumers and potential employees for the swine industry. Zero zinc has also been another problem the global swine industry is facing and dealing with today. We interviewed Colin in Ireland and Dan Bussier in Canada to discuss some of this. And I think it's important that we, as U.S. citizens, if as my primary audience, or U.S. producers, or even South American or other places that don't quite have this legislation, be in tune to what's going on, because it's coming. Even South Africa is talking about lowering their requirements on zinc oxide. So it's really important, I think, to understand the true problem and find potential solutions. Another hot topic was biosecurity and health management. It was a cornerstone of the discussion with our guests. As I mentioned previously about Swinco's idea for me, was the discussion on large litter sizes, management of daily or day one pig care. Daily pig care is also important, but day one care was a resounding theme. As you know, our co-founder William's episode on colostrum was also a fan favorite. But the truly important part of the conversations is how the entire global industry is facing labor issues and the opportunities for technology and innovation to provide valuable solutions. And I want to recognize a few people that are leading the way in this for our industry. And that's John Hook, Matthew Rota, Chris Baumgart, and Amos Pamishson at FairPro. They are blazing a new path to look at not only improving how we care for our animals, but for our people and making them more effective. And I just want to recognize those important people on the different things they're building and doing for our industry. I got to listen to John at Midwest Animal Science talk about how he looks at work instructions and SOPs, and all that stuff's really important. As a nutritionist, I've got asked to write work instructions for employees because I have a talent of translating science into terminology that people can use. So all that stuff's really important. The Real P3 may not have the most likes or the most listeners, which still boggles my mind a bit. But the impact it has made and the feedback I get on a personal level, and not by the number of comments or likes on Facebook or Twitter, is the lasting friendships, the feeling of a family or community I have built, and the inspiration we have provided to so many people. Forever, I will be grateful for this opportunity, and regardless of my financial situation of my business or our industry, I will still find a way to continue forward. I apologize I had to take a break and lose some momentum, but I truly want to live my mission, my company's mission now as well, to faithfully serve through Science Plus Heart. And I want to thank you all that listen and follow The Real P3, because you truly inspire me as well. Happy third anniversary to the Real P3 family. And as always, if you get a chance, hug a pig today.